man. Judy had me planting trees, and I threw my back out. So this morning I rolled out of bed. But I tell you what, I called a chiropractor, and he's in the church, so he said, come right over and we'll take care of you before you head up there. And then he about busted me in half, you know. I don't know how that makes it any better, but somehow it does. Well, I appreciate being here. I see some of you have been searching for the truth, and I appreciate you coming to that. Our seminar last time was really, really tremendous. The program, I don't know if I can get a better program or not. Me and Kevin can get in, and Dave can have a better program, but we've got some lined up. Of course, next year with Lee Mason and Dean Mills and Harold Goins coming, and George Fall. So we're going to have a good program next year. Then the year after, we got a real good program, too. We got Troy coming. Troy Northrup's going to be there for us, and he does a fine job. I appreciate him. I've had him come down and do a revival for me. He always does a tremendous job. But during that, we got Tony Sullivan coming, and let's see, who else? Hillary Underwood and Dick Chambers. So, I mean, that next one's going to be a good one, too. So we don't know what we're going to do after that. But we're working on that already. We're working on the next one after that. And we're talking about getting Reggie Webb. If you never heard Reggie Webb from Bluefield Bible College, he's a tremendous speaker. He's a wheelchair bound, but he is a tremendous speaker. So we're talking about getting him and a few others there. Of course, I think Ed did a tremendous job this last one. Man, I'm telling you what, that boy was on. He was about as top as he's ever been. But man, can you imagine that, 80 years old? I can't even think that good now. That's good to be here. I want you to be turning to Mark the second chapter, Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Now, if you don't get a TNT journal, we have a free journal out there for you. Just take one when you leave. It's $10 a year. It comes out quarterly, and it'll be coming out again in around May. So you take one of them, and I got where I couldn't load things last night, and I had a call way late, and I didn't get home to about 10 o'clock or a little after 10, and I tried to load things up, and with my back out, I about killed myself putting that stuff in the trunk because I had it all in one big plastic container, and I didn't have Scott there to load it. What's the matter with you? Verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, and they let him down in the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. They said, What? Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it like this before. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, tonight we just pray that as we open up the bread of life, that each one of us is in tune to it. Father, there's so many times when you're preaching meetings now, and as we go to the Lord's church, that the books are not open. And Father, we only know that we're going to grow by feeding on your word. So, Father, tonight we pray that each one of us will be in tune to the message of Christ. And, Father, that we will take everything in, and what we need to change, Father, we will. If we need to back up and look at ourselves, I pray tonight we will. If we need to repent, we'll do that, Father. And if there's anyone outside the body of Christ, as we always preach, we pray that they might come to you and your word through your word. Father, we love you and care about you. You have awesome power and glory and majesty, Father. And we pray this all in your Son's name. Amen. Sermon tonight is called When Jesus Is in the House. Jesus was in the house. I want you to notice something. I'm going to take about four or five things here, and I want you to look at through this text. In verse 6 and 7, it says, "But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" Jesus was in the house, and they didn't even know it. Isn't it amazing to you tonight that Jesus was in the house and they didn't even know it was the Messiah? They didn't even know it was the Christ. They didn't know it was the Son of God. They didn't know it was a great teacher that come from God. And yet, we live in America and God is in our Constitution and we don't even know it. We've forgotten that. We have forgotten that this country is based on godly principles and the power of God, not on the might of men, and it never has been. And we can see a deterioration in our families, and in America especially. I mean, this Colorado thing is distressing enough. I don't know how distressed you've been over it, but that night after that happened, I was sickened by the whole stinking mess. Sickened by the attitude that's going on in our home life and in America. And yet God, the ACLU can't do anything but take God out of everything. Get the Ten Commandments out of there. Here we got people with guns in schools, everything else in schools. Take God out of there. We got to get the Ten Commandments out. They're more worried about that than they are about guns or anything else. See, our problem has always been the same. The problem is the same. The cure is the same. The only trouble is we haven't figured out what the problem is and what the cure is. Brothers and sisters, the problem in this country is not money. We think when there's a problem in America that if we as Americans spend more money, we're going to fix the problem. We're going to put more money into the schools. We're going to put more money in detection equipment. We're going to put more money in police officers. And now somebody's talking about putting policemen in schools. Why don't we just put God back in schools and that might take care of all our problems? Why don't we give our teachers the authority and the power not only to teach but to discipline? Amen. Why can't we go back to when, and I like to go back sometimes. I want us to go back where the teachers were teachers and the students listened. Amen. And you treated them with respect. We have no respect today because God has left the country and because we've kicked him out. It isn't because he's left on his own, I'll tell you that. God never leaves on his own. He's always here. He's always with us. And yet we have this attitude that if we just spend more money, we're going to spend another $1 million, and then we're going to get education right. I'll tell you how you get education right. You get God back in the school, and you get education right. You just don't fool around with that stuff. God's in our Pledge of Allegiance, and yet we don't even know it. We got everybody trying to take God out. And they're seceding, brothers and sisters. They're seceding. They're taking God out of our country. They're taking God out of our school. That's why Christian schools are becoming more and more prevalent. That's why private education is really springing forth. If you want to raise your kid in the right way, sometimes you got to go that way. because all the trouble is coming, all the trials and tribulations, and public schools down Adams County where we live at, or close to where we live at, the next county over, the ACLU came in there because they had the Ten Commandments sitting in the front yard. Ten Commandments in the front yard. I mean, that's dangerous. That's absolutely dangerous, isn't it? That's almost like a pipe bomb, isn't it? It's almost like a pipe bomb, and they were frantic over it. I mean, they're just going crazy over it. And they're trying to take every semblance of the Lord Jesus Christ and God out of our schools and out of our country. God's in our Constitution, and yet we ignore Him. And I'll tell you what, God was lying on my mom's coffee table for 18 years, but I didn't know it. It's happening. Prayer did not go out of the schools first. It went out of the home first. The Bible didn't leave the schools first. It left the home first. We're losing the battle on the home front, not in the school front. And that's why we had so much trouble. At my house when I grew up, now I grew up in a Catholic home. I was 32 years old, be almost 33, close to 33. I won a couple months shy of 33 before I was converted. And yet we had the biggest Bible in the neighborhood. We had one of them family Bibles. It was about like that, about that wide, about that thick. You know, it was the heaviest Bible in there. And I used to get kids to come through the house and charge them to see the Bible. That's how I made my money. I did, and my mom could never figure out why all the kids were running through there and they was looking at the Bible. Can we touch it? Well, for an extra nickel, yeah, I'll let you touch it. And they would tell it all around town in our neighborhood that we were the most religious people in the neighborhood. Have you seen Spinotti's Bible? And then I lined them up. Well, my mom finally caught on what I was doing. She said, what are you doing? Because I had a lot of money, you know. I used to be terrible at that stuff. I could sell anything. They used to have this spouting around this one house. And you know how the maple trees would get in there and grow? I'd dig them out and go to school and sell them. Yeah. Woman wanted to know why I was up on the roof. I said, I'm trying to make money, lady. Anyway, when they come by the Bible and they look at that Bible and say, oh, man, you guys are religious, aren't you? And they'd look through there and I collect their money before they come in. They couldn't come in until they got the money. Don't have money, stay out. Get change. But the Bible laid on our coffee table all those years. Jesus was in the house and yet I didn't know it. We never had one prayer at dinner, ever. Never prayed at night. Never heard a Bible story. Never knew anything but Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord is with you. Blessed fruit of your womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, Mother of God. Pray for our sinners now and the time of our death. Didn't know anything about God. Jesus was in the house and we didn't know it. And I'm telling you what, that's what's happening in America today. And if those same people would come by our Bible and would have opened it up, they'd have broke the back of it because it never was open. I never remember that Bible ever being opened. It was a show. And here Jesus was in the house. And they didn't even know it. Who's he to say? Who's he to say somebody's sins to be forgiven? Only God can do that. He was God in the flesh. And they didn't even know it. The second thing. In Mark 2 and verse 2. Look what it says there. Mark 2 and verse 2. And straightway many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Wouldn't that be wild today if our preachers just preached the word? Wouldn't that be great? Be unusual, almost to a point in some of our congregations. In most revivals I go to, you got to fight tooth and nail with the preacher and the elders and everybody else in there to preach the gospel of Christ. To preach that there is one church and there is one faith, there's one Lord, one baptism. I'm telling you what, it is hard to teach and preach the word of God in our country today, even in our own congregations, because we've been inundated by all kinds of liberalism. We don't care anything about the Word of God anymore. It's what everybody thinks. But it doesn't matter what you think. But I want you to see this here. In Mark 2, they came in. The house was full. There's no room. And he preached the word unto them. When Jesus is in the house, he is the main attraction. Not music. Not videos. Not some latest denominational commentary. When Jesus is in the house, he's the main attraction. And yet, what have we done with Jesus? When we go out to talk to somebody about the Lord, what do we talk about? Well, you ought to come to our building. We got comfortable pews. You ought to come to our building because we got a great choir. You need to come to us because we got a great youth program. Now, nothing's wrong with any of those things. The only problem is that Jesus is the main attraction, and we have lost that. We have forgotten that Jesus is the main attraction. Everything else is. I went in one building, and just recently down the road from us, they built a new building, cost $600,000. Me and Dan was talking about something like this, where I believe we're into buildings, and there's nothing wrong with buildings, but there's a lot of things we can do with the money we put into buildings. And there just is. And they brought me in this building, $600,000, and they're showing me all this. Look at this. Oh. I mean, where was Jesus at? They had a chandelier that cost $10,000. And it's on electric. They want to clean it. He showed me how to do it. Isn't that great? Had a remote. Isn't that wild? I mean, I could sit out here and remote the light. Well, that'd be fun, wouldn't it? And it's a monstrosity. $10,000. What about $10,000 to win souls? What about $10,000 for evangelism? And yet everything I saw in there, they told me all about the building. But when Jesus comes back, I just don't think he's going to be impressed by that chandelier. I don't think he is. Now, something I want to get a point through in the book of Acts, when the apostles talked and spoke to people, they never talked about the church. They talked about Jesus. We had a recent problem in our congregation. We had a woman, her husband had passed away. And he's a faithful guy, deacon in the church, I mean, he was faithful. 6 months later, she's dating a non-Christian. 6 months later. And I mean, she's 60-some years old, and she's been in church 25, 30 years. She knows the book. But you know, people want to do what they want to do when they want to do it. They don't care what God says. And so, you know, I have to do some unpleasant things. And one of that was to go over there and talk to them about Jesus Christ. Talk to them about what they're doing. Well, I went to talk to her and he ended up being there. And I wasn't going to say anything. But they opened the door. I mean, you know, you get in those situations. When they open the door, you might well walk in. Because I was just in a guy's house, and we were talking to him about the Lord. And they lived like 30, 40 miles away from us, this one person that I was talking to before I went there. And a guy in our congregation is his dad. And every preacher in the next county has been there to see him. So he said, would you please go see him? I said, I'll go see him. So I got in there. So what am I going to say to him? What can I tell him anything new? Can I tell him anything new? No, every preacher in the other county has been to see him. So what I told him? He's got one foot on a banana peel and the other one in the grave. I mean, he's in bad shape physically. What am I going to tell him? I just went in there and I said, he talked about his medicine for about 6 hours. And I really didn't say nothing. The other guy was talking. No, I just waiting. Well, you go ahead and set the table, and I'll do my part. And so he got done talking about the medicine. I said, We're here to talk to you about Jesus Christ, but I'm here to tell you one thing. You already know what to do. You've had enough preachers here. I'm not going to sit here and beg you. I'm not going to talk to you, but I want you in heaven. Now, it's your choice whether you want to go to heaven or you don't. Now, I'm not going to waste any time on you because enough preachers already have. And I love you or I wouldn't be here. But listen, here's my phone number. If you want to be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of sin received to get the Holy Spirit, you call me. And we're not going to beg you. We're not going to cry with you. We're not going to do any of that. You already know what you got to do. Your sons talk to you. Every preacher in the Axe counties talk to you. And that's it. You make the decision. You let us know. Next day he calls. We baptize him into Christ. It's wild. Sometimes you just got to say this is the way it is. And, you know, there's no sense begging people. So I go to the house, and I tell him that was when the guy said, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, well, whatever decision you make, that's your decision. I've done what I've come here to do. So I go to these other people's house that the woman's dating a non-Christian. She's 60-some years old, been 25 years in the church. And I'll tell you something, her sons are in the church. Three sons. One of them's a deacon. All of them are faithful, and they all come to me. Man, here we are trying to tell our kids to date Christians, and here mom's dating a non-Christian. What in the world are we going to do? You got to go over there and do something. So I said, well, yeah, I didn't even know she was. Because, you know, they just don't call a preacher. Have you ever noticed that? We're the last to know. I'm telling you the truth. Isn't that right? He knows it. Dan knows it. Amen. We're usually the last to know. So I go in there, and I tell him about where we just been. And she says, yeah, you know, she said, a lot of people just don't care what the Word of God says. And I said, okay. That gave me an open door. I wasn't going to say anything. And I looked at him, and he's watching TV there. And I said, what's your relationship with the Lord? And he turns red, trying to look at the TV, and I said, what's your relationship with the Lord? I asked him again. He said, I used to go to church. I said, that isn't what I asked you. I said, what's your relationship with the Lord? Are you in Christ? Well, I used to go to church. I said, you don't get it. That's not what I'm talking about. Going to church is not being in the Lord. When you're in the Lord, you're added to the church. And he really didn't want to hear it. And you know why? She already sold out. Why can't we bring anybody up to the level of Christ? Why do we always descend down the mountain? And so I said this. I said, you're messing with one of my sheep. And she knows better. She's to marry and date Christians. I said, you know what a shepherd hook's for? Shepherd hook is to drag the sheep out of danger or beat the snot out of the wolf. That's what I said. I later regretted that, but I should have said something else. But well, you know, just come to your mind, you know, you bring back to that Sicilian mafioso thing, you know, I'm going to beat the snot out of him, you know? And, of course, that went over like a screen door in a summer rain. So I go, we get ready to leave because there's nothing more to say. You're not interested. We want to have Bible study with you. You're not interested. He wasn't interested. So we go out and she follows us out. And I told her this. I got her at the door and I said, you know better. You know better. I said, what about your grandkids? What about the example you are to your grandkids? Here your sons are trying to get them to marry Christians, and here you are setting an example. Now, I love you, but you're wrong. And so we left. Well, 2 weeks later, they went to North Carolina and got married. And now they're going to another Church of Christ, see? You see, it's always good to tell everybody else how to live their life. It's just a little bit different when you have to do it. When Jesus is in the house, He is the main attraction. It isn't music, it isn't dramas, it isn't gimmicks. And notice one thing, that Jesus didn't chase after them or apologize to them. Only God can forgive. He didn't say, well, I'm sorry, did I offend you and this? We're too worried about offending people. Now, I want to save people, and I want to be as nice as I can be. I went out to Delaware, and I preached out in Delaware, and the young preacher's over there, and he said, man, I have a hard time talking to people. I said, well, listen, I said, one of the reasons you have a hard time talking to people is because you have the wrong concept of what you're here to do. You're not here to please people. You're here to present the gospel wherever you go. Well, he said, I just don't know how to do it. Well, I said, this week we'll do it. Going to the hospital. Well, you talk to everybody about the Lord. Right? That's what you're supposed to do, right? He, you know, that's all I know about. We went into a room where the woman already checked out that he wanted us to go see, and so he's ready to leave. No, I said, wait a second, here's another woman. How are you doing? Well, how are you and the Lord doing? No, I'm preaching a revival over here. We'd like to come talk to you. Can we share the gospel with you? Can we have prayer with you? We did that. Well, he said, that's pretty easy, isn't it? I said, yeah, it is. Then he's going to go to a retirement home, a nursing home, and he's been turning down preaching there. Turn it down. Well, he said, I feel kind of funny of really putting a hard message together. I said, number one, when I go to a nursing home, I preach the same way I preach up here. They don't want you to patronize them. They appreciate it when somebody brings a message instead of somebody pussyfooting around with them. They're not dumb. Just because they're in a nursing home don't mean they lost their brains. And so he went. And he come back the next day. It was on a Tuesday he did that. He said, man, he said, it was great. They asked me back. I said, well, that's right. Just do it. Jesus is the main attraction. The apostles never talked about the church before. They talked about Jesus. We need to speak about Jesus instead of about the building, or we got air conditioning, or we got great pews. Man, we got tremendous music, and that may be also, but I'm telling you what, if Jesus is in the center, we're not winning anybody, and that's why we're losing people. Because people are coming because of gimmicks and attractions. We have one that I wrote the editorial on, Beanies or Bust. They had Beanie Baby Sunday. Yeah, Beanie Baby Sunday. If you brought so many people, everybody brought so many people, got a Beanie Baby. If you brought the most people, you got a special Beanie Baby. And I put in there, I knew what the invitation in was going to be. All the Beanie, I surrender. And, of course, I got called. They canceled the subscription to the TNT Journal. It was hateful and unloving. See, because on the last, I seen a bumper sticker that says, your kid may be an honor student, but you're still an idiot, you know? And so I put on there, if you don't understand this is a satire, the PS is for you. And they canceled that. He said, I'm not an idiot. I said, listen, if I'm talking about committing adultery and you're not doing it, am I talking to you? Evidently, it hit you. So you may be an idiot. But they canceled the subscription, and I imagine TNT will just go under because of it. He's the main attraction. Also, he's the instructor. Not only is he the main attraction, he's the instructor. Not denominational books, not pop psychologists. They receive the Word of God from the Word of God. He's the main attraction, boy. We've got so many denominational books in our pulpit, we're preaching Chuck the Swindler stuff. I mean, everything is coming out of the pulpit is touchy-feely. And there's a place for all that stuff. There's nothing wrong with some of that stuff. But listen, we need to get people that's going to preach on doctrine again. Wayne Smith told more jokes than anybody else. And now he regrets it because he said, if people are ignorant of the Word of God and that place is going south, even south of Lexington. Right? But he said that. Listen, he's the main attraction. He's the instructor, and that's what we need to do. We need to get back to the Word of God. Get right down to the book, chapter, and verse, people. We used to know that. We used to know. We used to be book, chapter, and verse. Now it's I think, I feel. It's in there somewhere. The book of somewhere is the biggest book in the Bible. Well, it's in there somewhere. And then we had some people at our congregation leave because they weren't being fed. Yeah, they're not being fed. And but when you go to them, they'll tell everybody that. But you know, when you go to somebody, you always get a lie. Most of the time. They weren't being fed. What you need to do is lay that Bible in front of them and just say this. Just show me the plan of salvation in here. I'll guarantee you, 99.75% couldn't show you that. Those people are crying, they're not being fed. And so they went down to another Church of Christ, and about 45 miles from us, Clarksburg now, is Pentecostalism to death, buddy. It's jumping up, running around. They're having denominational groups in. That's what it is. People want excitement now. They don't want the Word of God. He's the instructor. Now look what happens. Verse 3. And there come unto him, bring one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. You know what? I'd like to have four friends like this, wouldn't you? Most of the people in the Lord's church, they was carrying me on the bed, said, well, it looks like you're a big crowd. Look like you're going to die. I mean, how'd you like some of our brethren carrying us? Well, it looks too hard. We can't get in there. These guys were really after business, weren't they? And they let the bed down. Jesus saw their faith. He said unto the sick of palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin, he saith to the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified, saying, we never saw it like this. When Jesus is in the house, some people don't even know it. When Jesus is in the house, he's the main attraction. When Jesus is in the house, he's the instructor. When Jesus is in the house, there'll be blessings. Why can't we get that through people's heads? You got marriage problems? Get Jesus in the house. You got a family that's in trouble? Get Jesus in the house. I know from firsthand experience, buddy. I was a hard-nosed man. When Judy had to go and she was baptized behind my back, wouldn't even tell me, that's enough to make you cry. But I'm telling you what, if the Lord wouldn't have come to our house, we'd probably be divorced. We probably would. Because I cuss and I drink and I'm ready to fight at a drop of a hat. And that's just the way I was. But I'm telling you what, the Lord makes a difference. He makes a difference. I'll never forget she became a Christian. I didn't know it. She wouldn't convert to Catholicism, see. And so she started going to these other churches. I was all worried about it. So I was going to find her church myself, not looking for myself. And suddenly, there's a guy that's at work that told me about they're having a revival. Come on out to revival. And we went out there and end up, you know how the Church of Christ is, 5 minutes before services, nobody's there. And so I thought I was at the wrong place. Then we got ready to leave, and this little fat guy come running out screaming and hollering. There was only one car in the lot. And I started laughing. Judy said, "What you laughing at?" I said, "Well, we better stay. He looks like the Maytag repairman. He's the loneliest man in town." We turned around, and Ed Bilesman was preaching. Of course, that's culture shock. You know, I never heard a sermon in my life. Do you know that? When they get up there, we used to have a priest. You couldn't understand a thing he said. And they do the high man. They did give him diction lessons. He could say two things correctly. Money. Then he'd do this. Bingo. He go, pop this out, bingo, Wednesday night. Yeah, I mean, they got him right down. I never did understand. I thought he was speaking in tongues all those years. And so Judy started going back there. And I kept going to the Catholic Church, and I became more and more dissatisfied with it. Because I started reading the Bible. And when you read the Bible, you get dissatisfied. You will. And I kept reading, I kept seeing, looking all these feast days, and I look up the feast of Mary, Mother, our Queen, and I couldn't find it anywhere. They give a scripture because Jesus was king, and that made Mary the queen. Stuff like that. And then you find out Peter was married, and he's supposed to be the first pope. Kind of hard. You find out that we're all saints. That those that are born in the water and the spirit are saints. Catholic Church, you got to be dead for 50 years to be a saint. That's why Mother Teresa's got a hard way to go. Got to wait another 50 years for somebody to vote on her. But I started reading the Bible, and then I'd sit there, and as they're going through the missalette, you know, and they'd start be going on, and you're up and down and genuflecting and going everywhere, you know, and finally I started mumbling. I did. I mean, it's terrible. Terrible, but... You know, when they get up and they do, you know, the Lord be with you. And then you say, and with your spirit. You know, I go, they didn't know it. I said, this is mindless, man. I was a mindless thing, but I didn't want to let go. Because if I knew I did, I was going to get disinherited. In my family, you go to Sicilian Mafiosa family, you got problems. And finally, I just got sick. I said, and I knew it. I said, I had to do something. I've got to do something. I know I'm wrong. I know what's right. And so one Sunday night, I showed up there when she was there, and I was baptized into Christ. And the strange thing about it was that nobody came and taught me. I wouldn't let them in the house. But I read myself out. And you can do it. That's how plain the Bible is if you really want to take it as it is. You got to have professional help to mess up it. Mess up salvation in the Bible. And then my wife, because of how I was, she bought the cheapest Bible that she could buy because she figured I wouldn't last. And I still have that in my office. And the reason I have it in my office is this. You do not know what's in a person's mind. Don't judge anybody by their cover. Don't judge anybody by the way they used to be or how they are today, because Jesus can make a difference in every one of our lives. He made a difference in our life. And when I determined, when I was baptized into Christ, I was following Christ, not the preacher. The preacher went south, I was still going north. And I've never looked back. And I keep that Bible there to remind me that everybody I run into is somebody that the Lord loves and can do something with. And our house has had many blessings because of it. Our son got engaged, our youngest son, and to a Christian girl up in Lima, Ohio, the Lima Church of Christ. We're so pleased with that. And he came down to do it. He came down for searching for the truth, went out to Shawnee Lodge. It just drives me nuts because he's so
You know, when he's home, man, he used to be wild. I mean, he wasn't wild crazy, but he'd drive me nuts. He'd call me Coolio. Yeah, he would. You know, you won't grab him and hurt him. Hey, Coolio, what's happening? You know? And then he'd do with Judy, he'd call, Mama, Mama, Mama Mia, Papa, Papa Mia. That's what he'd do us, you know. And he'd make all these elephant sounds coming through the, you know. Here you are trying to read or sitting around talking, you know. I said, man, I hope they take care of your problem, son. Anyway, he comes home and he takes her out to Shawnee Lodge where he liked going out there. And she said he got down on his knee and proposed to her. Now, isn't that wild? I would never suspect that from that boy. That's the blessings. There will be blessings in your house. The man received a double blessing. Not only was he healed outwardly, but he was healed inwardly. He said, your sins be forgiven you. The people were blessed because they were taught. If you allow Jesus to come into your house and recognize that he is Lord, you'll be blessed also. Then you will say just what they said. Look in verse 12. And immediately arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it this way before. If you allow Jesus to be Lord in your life, allow him to come into your house, you're going to say, and I'll tell you what, I can say that from personal experience, we have never seen anything like it in our life. That's what Jesus can do for your family. What Jesus can do for your marriage. But you have to make Jesus Lord before he's your Christ. Every time the apostles taught, every time they preached, he said, that God hath made the same Jesus both what? Lord and Christ. He has to be your Lord before he can be your Christ. And how many of us just want a Christ? We want a Savior, but we don't want a Lord. The woman that left the church, she didn't want a Lord. She wants a Savior, but she don't want to obey the Lord. We want all the benefits of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we don't want to obey him, but we still want to get to heaven. Oh, Lord, yeah, take me there. When Jesus is in the house, there'll be a change. Tonight, we're going to give the invitation. However, Scott wants to do that. You can obey the gospel plan of salvation. It's pretty simple. Acts 2:38, he preached the gospel. And they were cut to the heart. Now listen, have you ever noticed that verse? Men and brethren, what shall we do? And evidently when Peter came back to them, there was something they had to do, wasn't it? Now isn't it funny how everybody teaches you don't have to do anything? And yet they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And when Peter said the next verse, evidently there's something you need to do. He said, repent and really be immersed for the forgiveness of sin and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is unto you, you Jews, and to all are far off, and your children, the Jews' children, and all are far off, us, as many as the Lord our God shall call. He's calling you tonight to repentance, to make him Lord of your life, as we stand and sing our song, Invitation. Whatever you need.